This week, we are, over the next 3 weeks, as has been mentioned earlier, we are doing a revival in our church, a revival in our lives. And it is important, it's very important for all of us to do this, to understand and to take a little time and look into God's Word a bit differently, I think, and to understand, I hope, what we need to see individually as a church, as a community, and as a nation. So over the next 3 Sundays, today and the next 2, we're going to look at what it means to be saved. That's not a term a lot of people use a great deal today. I think in some ways it's kind of fallen out of favor with popular theology today, and people typically don't say, I'm saved, or when I got saved, or if someone is saved. But being saved is a very real thing, and I want us to look at that in a very serious manner. So today, we're looking at salvation. To be saved includes, means, forgiveness of sin. Next Sunday, we are going to look at salvation as it means eternal life. And then the 3rd Sunday, we're going to look at salvation, being saved as it pertains to being part of God's family. And I pray that if you will, I believe strongly that if you will come, and if preferably, if you possibly can, bring someone with you, and particularly someone who is not involved in church. I think these are important messages for all of us to hear, and I think that we will all benefit if we can take the time and go through them. So this morning we're looking at, the sermon is being forgiven of sin, forgiveness of sin. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land. May God add to the reading of His Scripture. We live in an increasingly wicked world, and often we see that our government is among some of the most wicked governments in the nation. I'm sorry to say that. I really hate to say that, but we are approaching a point where the U.S. government and U.S. society is no longer a beacon of righteousness, a beacon of Christianity. We are becoming the nation that is the worst. We are becoming, in some ways, the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And I am sorry if that's offensive, but that's a fact, and we need to look at that fact. It is sad. We live in a time when God will judge us individually and as a nation and as a community for our actions or our inactions. So, what is the problem in our world today? Well, summarize, put in a nutshell, what is wrong with the United States government? What is wrong with the U.S. society? What is wrong with the world today is sin. That's the bottom line. It is sin. And Jesus is the only answer for that sin. I want us to think a little bit about what sin is. And we're going to look at a pretty devastating example of sin and what it does. Sin is not an accident. It is the intentional, willful breaking of the laws of God. No one goes out here and accidentally commits sin. If you sin, you know what you're doing, and you are willfully doing something that you know you're not supposed to do. You know, it's amazing. People know right and wrong. We don't have to go out and explain it. We don't need a manual to try to teach morals and decency to people. People know when they're doing something that is wrong. Now, we may try to excuse it. We may try to make it seem like less of an issue than it really is. But down inside, We know. I've always known. And I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I have been involved in sin myself, but I have never been involved in sin when I didn't know it. I knew that what I was doing was not right. I knew that the sin I was committing was not right. Sin is serious, and it has devastating consequences. I think sometimes popular society tries to trivialize sin and wink at sin and try to act like it's almost a game, or that somehow that's just a really good thing. You know, we had the thing back in the 70s, and I'll maybe tell my age, the comedian, some of you I'm sure remember, Flip Wilson saying, "The devil made me do it," those sort of things. We laughed about that, and that was funny, ha-ha. And that has never stopped. Sin is serious, and we're going to talk about exactly how serious. I'm going to give you an example. Put on my glasses because I don't want to misread this. In September 1969, Donna Gulish of Sherman, 10-year-old girl, went missing on her way home from school. Her body was found in a wooded area northwest of town. September 11th, 1969, it was just 3/4 of a mile from school, and she was reported to have been badly beaten with bruises, lacerations, and a broken leg. On April 1st, 1970, 11-year-old Laura Stevens left Lamar Elementary School in Denison, Texas, and headed to her home, which was 2 blocks away. She was wearing a red dress and blue sash. She never arrived home. The next day, her purse and a few things were found on the edge of the red clay road leading to her home on the city's east side. The day after that, some boys found some clothes that Stephen's mother identified as belonging to the little girl. 2 days later, her body was found near Randall Lake in the northwest area of Denison. She had been beaten to death. On April 10th, Grayson County Sheriff Woody Blanton filed murder charges against Charles Dennis Easley, an 18-year-old Denison man, in the deaths of Gulish and Stephen. Easley was convicted of murder with malice and received a life sentence. The case wound their way through the state and federal court system, resulting in a number of trials and retrials before Easley was finally convicted of murder with malice aforethought on April 8, 1975. He died in prison in Huntsville, Texas, 2 weeks ago. One of those little girls would have been my daughter-in-law's aunt had she lived. A serious matter, obviously. I know that family. I saw the pain and the devastation that they went through. And I cannot even begin to comprehend the fear and the pain and the suffering that those two innocent children went through. Why did that happen? Sin. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about sin. It's not a laughing matter. It's not cute. It's not sexy. It's not romantic. It is pure evil. And it gets in every one of us. Every single person will be affected, will be impacted by sin in our lifetime. So it's important for us to understand what we're talking about this morning. I want us to look at some attributes of sin. The first one is that sin will take you farther than you intended to go. I think that's one of those universal things. We always think we can limit sin. I can do just a little bit. It won't be that big a deal. But it always takes you further than you intended for it to take you. When Eve ate of the fruit in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says she looked at it and she saw that it was good and pleasant something to be desired, and she ate and gave to her husband. I think she never thought it would go as far as it went. She never expected that that sin would result even in one of her children killing the other one. It goes further than you and I expect it to go. I believe that Charles Dennis Easley, the monster that we have just talked about, I don't believe he intended to become the kind of evil monster that he became. At one point in his life, he was born an innocent child, just like every other innocent child in the world. So what happened? I mean, obviously, I don't know his surroundings. I don't know his parents, his home life. But I can tell you what happened in his life. Sin. He got involved in sin. It went further and it went further until he was completely possessed by Satan himself. No rational human being ever thinks or intends to commit this kind of atrocity. Sin occurs when we are taken aside, when we look away. James 1, 13 and 15 says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings death. That's not a kind of, maybe, sort of. That's the facts. That's the simple rules. If you get involved in sin, it's going to end up further than you intended it to go, and it's going to wind up in death. It will kill you. Sin is deadly. Number two, sin begins, or might even say sin is a lie. You know, sin always tells us, Satan always says, you can do this, you can have this, it won't be bad, you deserve it. It's a lie. We believe, oh, if I just did this, if I had this thing, if I were married to this person, if I could possess that, it would make me happy. And it does not. Sin never, ever fulfills. It always leaves us hollow. It always leaves us empty. It always leaves us in pain. And it destroys. No one will ever know is one of those things one of the lies sin tells us. You can do this. Nobody will ever know it. You can get away with it. How about this one? You deserve it. Working as an accountant, I have worked with and investigated people having taken money and having abused their rights to get money that they didn't own. Investigated people stealing, just to boil it down. And nearly every time I have heard them at some point say, I deserved that. The company really owed it to me. I work hard. I've done this. They owe that to me. We all get this notion when we want to do something that we shouldn't do. I've got a right to do that. No, we don't. Another lie. You're strong. If you want it, just take it. You have the ability. You can do this. Or how about the latest one? I was born this way. No one was born committing sin. You weren't born that way. I don't care what it is, and it's not just gay. It's a whole host of things. You know, we have now studies saying that they believe there are some people who are born with a penchant for being with minor children, pedophiles. No, they're not born that way. God does not create human beings who are evil. Sin does that. Don't believe that lie. Third, sin separates you from God. You cannot hold God's hand and commit sin. I can't, and you can't. I cannot be a faithful servant of God and at the same time being willfully disobedient to God. The two just won't work together. If you're going to get involved in sin, get ready. It's going to separate you from God. It's going to separate you from the people that you love. It's going to separate you from the decency that you have. Sin will take everything in your life and it will separate you from the people you love. If I lie to you, it will change our relationship. I've had people lie to me. I've had people just stand right in my face and tell me some of the biggest lies you can imagine. It's really hard for me to trust them after that. It would be hard for me to be dependent on them on a serious matter because I know they'll lie to me. If I cheat on my wife, it's going to be really hard for me to put that back together. It will change our relationship. If I sin against God, it will change my relationship to God. Sin changes us, and sin separates us. Number four, sin demands justice. Sin demands justice. It is one of the realities of this world that people who do evil things somehow get this notion that they can get by with it. But you will not. Sin demands justice. Jeffrey Epstein, I know you're all familiar with that story. Jeffrey Epstein sold young girls to wealthy and powerful men and women for decades, and he made billions of dollars in the process of doing it. As we all know, he died in his jail cell under suspicious circumstances, supposedly hung himself, and a lot of very rich and powerful people have breathed a sigh of relief, thinking no one will be able to find out, because he was about to spill the beans on a lot of very important people. Let me tell you something. Every single one of those people who abuse children will stand before the God of the universe and they'll pay for that crime. Sin demands justice, and justice will be done in my life, in your life, in everyone's life. Justice will come. There will be a day when we will stand before God and the books will be open and the book of life will be opened and the dead will be judged according to the things recorded in the books. Sin will receive justice. Every evil deed, every transgression of the laws of God will receive justice. Everyone, this is the other biggie, everyone has committed sin. I have, and you have. Oh, I've never been a child molester or molested anyone for that matter, but I've committed sin. I have done things that I know were in violation of the laws of God. I have willfully and intentionally done things that I knew were not right. I am guilty of sin, and so are you. Now, I could stand up and say, well, yeah, I've done some things, but I'm not near as bad as that person. Really? Do we want to go before the God of the universe and our excuse be, I'm not quite as bad as a child molester? That won't cut it, people. I've sinned, you've sinned, we're guilty. And we can't do anything to make it better. I can't do enough good deeds to recompense or to pay for my sin. If Dennis Easley had not been caught, if he had gone out and dedicated the rest of his life to caring for underprivileged children or children that were dying of diseases or whatever, it would never have paid for the horrible things that he did. You can't justify sin by trying to do some good thing. What he did was evil. He's guilty of it. What I have done is sin. I'm guilty of it. What you have done is sin, and you're guilty of it. Don't try to reason it away. Sin is sin. You have no means of paying for your sin. Jesus Christ is the only way that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven. God gave His own Son. Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was without sin. He stood before Satan himself and was spit on, beat, crucified. His blood was shed. He overcame sin. He took that sin on himself so that I could be forgiven, so that you could be forgiven. There is no other name under heaven wherein we must be saved. If you want forgiveness of your sin, Jesus Christ will forgive your sin. There are conditions. You have to come to Him. You have to kneel and confess your sin. You have to admit, I am a sinner. I am guilty. And if you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He will forgive your sin. He will take away your sin. You don't have to be guilty. And it even goes further than that. If Dennis Easley had gone to an altar and had been forgiven of his sin and had put his faith in Jesus Christ, those little girls would not have been killed. If a young man named Ramos down in South Texas had been taken to church by his parents, if he had been introduced to Jesus, if he had put his faith in Him, the 19 children and two teachers in Uvalde, Texas, would be alive today. You see, it's more than just, I'm a goody-two-shoes. Sin is real. Jesus can forgive it, and He changes lives when He does. He changes who we are, what we are. The only way that we can be saved is to be born again. If you don't like the way you were born, we have a lot of people today saying, well, I don't agree with the way I was born. Be born again. That's the answer. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't go out and try to do evil. Don't immerse yourself in sin. Come to an altar, put your faith in Jesus Christ, be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, and he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. If our musicians will come, I want to do an altar call this morning, and it is a very serious matter. If you have sin in your life that you have not gotten taken care of, come to an altar this morning and take care of it. If you come here, if you'll get on your knees, you don't have to confess to me. I don't need to know what you're guilty of. Don't want to know. Tell God about it. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I need your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. Let me tell you something. I'll say just one thing about altars before we start. Coming to an altar is a bit humiliating. It's old-fashioned. Most churches today have taken them out. People don't like them. It's humiliating. But let me tell you something. It works. It works. If you'll get on your knees before God and say, forgive me, I confess my sin, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll forgive your sin and you'll be born again. While we sing, if you will, please stand.